Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Happy New Day!
Good morning!
How you feeling on this fine-ass Thursday with your fine ass?
Good. You gotta answer yourself. Yeah. I got an IEP meeting with my son today. So.
Okay.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, let's get into the I'm happy to be a woman and happy Women's Month today. Okay.
And before we get fully into, you know, it is Women's Month. And, you know, my husband brought up a point. He goes, you know, what about Men Day, yada, yada, yada. And I go, okay, yes. But understand, the reason why these months or these weeks exist is not about what's going on now. These were created back in the day when women who did make huge achievements in life.
For sure.
Didn't get the recognition that she deserved because she was a woman. It's to honor the women that created and paved that path like Susan B. Anthony. That we have what we have because of these women. Because I personally believe the Me Too movement and a lot of the women's rights crap is going a little too far now.
I thought it was just me, girl. I thought that this was the land of the free, the home of the brave, and we had the right to speak whatever we wanted to speak because that was our right. I mean, you can't say shit these days without offending, belittling, and all the other things to people based on how you make me feel. People have gotten soft. We have gotten soft as a people, and we have started to forget to mind our own business. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of these groups and activists that are popping up left and right about the things.
A lot of these activists don't even live the world that they're activating for or they're protesting for. The NCAA or whatever, you know, NCAP, whatever, I'm screwing this up, but is ran by a lot of white people.
listen, watch this. Remember all the Black Lives Matter? Honey.
The founder quit.
Honey.
He quit. I met the founder of Black Lives Matter. He quit and walked away.
Exactly. Because he realized that his life matters. His sanity and his peace matter.
You know, these organizations started out with a purpose, and they got overran and became political. And then they get... the message gets messed up and destroyed in the process. So it's like females in the military being on the front line.
You know,
the people who voted for it, the people who did it, not serve a day in their life.
Honey, watch this. It's some group out there, and they text me. I'm driving right now, guys, but they text me yesterday or the day before to ask me to take a survey on transgender women and should they be allowed to use fitting rooms and dressing rooms and bathrooms publicly or in play on like a women's basketball team.
I agree with the Olympic vote, and that was if they did not go through puberty,
uh-huh.
then it should be okay. Once they go through puberty yeah. and they have those testosterone and that built in that body, no, too many women are
strong.
Getting hurt.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, the sad part is the people that are really that way are getting screwed over by people who are sissified little whiny mommy's boys who can't cut it as a man in a man's sport. And they go to the women's sport because then they're the top of the league. Well, no shit. Or they use it to get out of trouble. Manny is a perfect thing for that one. He went AWOL and then he, you know, did what he did and then he turned into a girl to get out of trouble and became the poster child of transgender. Even though he was a deserter. My issue with it is
uh-huh.
is that, you know, we can't tell who are real, who are pretending to be, who are out there to prey on our kids.
Yeah.
And I do not let my kids go into the bathroom by themselves just for that reason.
I feel you. And, you know, when I let Gage go to the restroom, I got a 2-minute warning. It's 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes to get in there and get in and get out. If you can't get in and get out in 2 minutes, maybe three, mommy's coming in. And she cutting up if she has
The problem I have with this whole transgender thing is that we're doing it to our kids at a very young age. And we're not teaching them.
They think it in school. But why, do you think that should be taught in school?
Oh, hell no. Especially not in elementary school.
For sure.
The problem I have is parents are raising their children gender neutral. They're not a boy, they're not a girl. How do you know who you are as an individual if you don't even know what the basics represent? And the thing is I've got friends who work in crisis line, and due to diet and everything else, a lot of these kids have hormone imbalances. So before we even, they don't even do the therapy they need to do. They don't do the testing to make sure their body's correct first. They literally go in, I think I'm going to do this, and then they start it. That's what they think. I'm sorry, but how many kids went through the experimental phase? High school, college? How do you figure out what you're going to
yeah.
be? You don't even know who you are yet. And now you're permanently destroying these kids who will never be able to have kids because of it. Because
and
it's the latest fact.
They push for population control.
But it's a good way to cut down our population. You're going to have a whole
I
generation of kids who cannot have kids.
That's not going to have no kids.
And the sad part is, and what bugs me the most about that, is the fact that if a parent doesn't agree and says, no, you need to wait till you're of age, in some states, that parent can lose that child. So we don't even have rights as a parent anymore of what our kids can and can't do. They can overrun us. Me, Women's Month is so important. As moms who carry these kids, who raise these kids, make our voices louder so that we can be heard that it's our right to raise our kids as long as they are raised healthy and respected. And not being abused, neglected, whatever, which is a whole other rabbit hole.
And that's okay.
But, you know, we're becoming too complacent.
For sure.
And letting those voices be heard.
And I think our lack of discipline as a people. You know, I hear people say, like, when they went to an Asian country, how clean it was.
They take care
of your, you know what I'm saying? You know, I saw a guy throw some paper out on the, it was like the bypass against the highway. So it's like a 3-4 lane situation. And just casually throws it out and didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, how? I watch a lot of their shows because they're clean, they're entertaining. But they all have one thing in common. They make fun of Americans about how messy we are. Because we do. We throw shit on the ground. We don't pick it up. Our kids don't know how to take care of themselves. You know, they're taught at a young age to be able to help the household, to be able to do dishes, to be able to help do things. They're not, it's not slave labor where they're, you know, bringing in money, well, some are, but, you know, it's all about helping out and taking care of each other.
It really is. And just love. And even that kid in our school at 2 and back to the Asian community. The children start school at 2, they're learning discipline, tactics to help if they're ever attacked. You know, like, they're learning almost like military, but they have, like, their mindset is different. They even do their math different.
But they're also taught how to take care of each other and how to put someone in front of themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They lead on love, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Americans have lost that.
No, that was the one good thing that came out of 9/11, is how we joined forces together and worked together, help each other out. And somewhere along the line, we've lost that again and became the world of self-centered. And you wonder why we're in a mental health crisis.
I was going to say, nothing good's coming out of that. Yes, mental health crisis. We won't even allow people to grow into themselves before they want to start changing, you know, the gender. Like, that is crazy to me.
It is the saddest state that we live in right now. You know, and now they can give men hormones to let them simulate breast milk so they can breastfeed a baby. How is that healthy? Seriously.
Man, what?
You're feeding a kid chemicals. Yeah, look it up. There's a hormone they give men that discreet shit. Because these transgenders want to be able to... Yeah, they want to be able to breastfeed babies.
Now watch
their babies.
If you do that, the hormones that that baby is consuming... That's crazy.
Yeah. That's how far it's gotten. It's gone, like, way over the edge and off the cliff.
Over the edge is an understanding.
You know, that's like, you know, the big thing I had about that, too, is that, okay, so when you're in the military, you cannot be on medication to be deployable. That's why diabetics and people who are on mental health meds cannot go in the military. They have to be off of them. But now they allow transgenders in who have to be on hormone meds to survive. And well, theoretically, technically, these people are non-deployable. So you're bringing in hundreds of individuals to be able to get that free surgery, but yet they can't do any good to our military because they...
Well, what about the people who have to get that shit reversed? What about them people?
They have to what?
The people that get it reversed. Oh, you know, I thought I wanted to be a... I've seen stories like this, and they... I wanted to be a boy, and then I became a boy, and now I'm transitioning back to a girl.
It's a long...
Shout out to
painful.
Randy, Chef Randy, in the ones and twos. He always in the kitchen. You let your hair grow out, Randy? Randy is one of our fine sponsors. He sponsors our C-Miles, him at Urban Flow. Shout out to Chef Randy. Randy Watson. Yeah, one more time. Randy Watson. For sure. I have to shout my people out when I roll up on them. But anyway, we're living in
And the thing is depending on how much work you get done will depend on process. Sometimes it's not reversible. There are people who've
That's
had it
what
done.
I'm saying. They had
the
it
hormone
done. Yeah.
The hormone blocker they use is the same hormone blocker we used to give sex offenders. But it got deemed cruel and unusual punishment due to the side effects. And it's a permanent thing.
I'm just shaking my head because what is your mental like when that this is what it is? You know, like what is your mental like? Like, dang, this is what it is.
Well, and you know, some people have come out. They're suing some of the media outlets because they
but you can't sue somebody
swear up and down.
You made.
But the thing is, some of these people can't because they were talked into it. They were brainwashed into this is okay, so you're feeling this way. And they didn't get all. Yeah. And they said we were basically the poster child to fill your agenda, and you talked us into it. You got us so wrapped into this because we were in such a low place. And that's the big thing about mind control that people don't understand. Because, you know, this whole transgender world came out right after, started in the end of COVID. So you have a group of individuals who were isolated, scared out of their mind, because every time you turned on something, you talked, all you heard about is how you're going to die of COVID. You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. You have to get the shot. You have to do this. You have to do this.
Bruh,
you have to wear masks. You have to isolate.
Yeah.
So when you're already in that mindset of depression, not feeling right, you know, self-esteem issues, and now you start adding fear, you start adding isolation in, here comes the programming. All of a sudden, all you heard about is this, you know, transgender world. And you start indoctrinating these kids in preschool. There's schools that what they do is they start them in preschool. They give them a person. They got a colored in. How do you feel today? Do you feel like a boy or a girl? And it follows them all the way through school.
Wow.
And so that starts the warnings for the people with the agendas to be able to say, this is how, basically, the nice way of saying is this person's susceptible to being brainwashed. Now, when you add into these people, the individuals that were in the military, it's another whole new level of program. Because if you ever look how the messaging changes based on what's going on in the environment, it's like who wins the Super Bowl or the World Series. You ever notice that when there's been a disaster or a event, that where that happened is who won the World Series or who won the Super Bowl that year?
Oh, yeah.
It just happens to be a coincidence. It just happened to be that team rally. Okay, whatever. That's the point.
I see what you're saying, girl. I see.
It's all in messaging. And it's been a proven fact that since we've had radio, we've been using messaging, marketing 101, to attract a clientele, to attract a certain amount of people. You message a certain way. It's all a psychology game.
How you deliver the message. And then the feedback is what they rely on. But the message be lost, honey. The message be lost. Because
yeah.
These people are lost.
My question is how much of COVID was real? How much was a social experiment? How much did they get the population to believe?
Man, listen. And are they preparing us for when it really goes down and it's COVID but no electricity? And then it comes a time when you realize that you are really a part of a matrix. They're really playing in your face. You have been lied to. You have been bamboozled. We're all in the Truman Show.
Kind of. I mean, you look at other countries, you know, Ron talks about the COVID vaccine, yada, yada. But the thing is, here's my issue with it. One, you keep needing booster shots. And the COVID's like a super flu, super cold, everything all in one, okay? We have never been able to cure the common cold or the flu. You can't cure a virus. But in 6 months, we've got a cure for the COVID. Yeah. So the big cure for COVID is an RNA vaccine, which changes your RNA in your body.
So every time you get a strand of COVID, that's being changed.
Yep. If it's the RNA one, which is,
I think,
you know, Germany has been doing a lot of autopsies and research and finding out all the side effects that they don't talk about. I'm just saying a lot of healthy people are either dying or having heart complications or heart attacks, stroke, things that they've, heart conditions they never had before after they got the vaccine. A lot of women having miscarriages, stillbirths, after they had the vaccine. And we don't even know the long-term effects changing your RNA has on future generations.
Do they care, though? Because, again, it's all about population control.
Well, that's it. They don't care. It's just how does a mass population fall into a category? And how we can just flock like sheep to do what we're told. But that's like the same thing with, you know, we live in an obese nation. But we cut out gym, we cut out recess, and our kids are in school. So how do we expect our kids to be active if they sit on their butts in class all day?
And you put a device in front of them that teaches them everything. They don't have to get up and go get a book. They don't have to do it. They can just say, hey, Siri. And guess what?
Well,
they've gotten to the point where they're too lazy to do that.
Mhm. Well, you know, the funny thing is we were, a teacher brought this up. Every kid now carries their own water bottle.
They carry a water bottle?
Yeah, they don't drink from water fountains anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Kids all carry water bottles. They spend $60-$70 on a stupid water bottle because it's got a brand name on it. It's insane.
I just get bottles of water. I don't walk around with a water bottle. But I guess that's cool.
But when we were kids in school, we drank out of the damn water fountain. We used to sit there and count down the person in front of us to make sure we all got a drink. But, you know, we didn't have that. We didn't die of dehydration in class because we couldn't have a drink of water. I mean, we are literally raising a generation of kids that are soft. That don't know how to persevere because they have everything handed to them on a silver platter.
That's why they feel so privileged.
Yeah.
They feel so privileged.
It's insane to me. Well, we allow our... we allow our kids to tell us where to go. I've seen that a lot with the with kids, where their that really the parents have no control over their kids. It's like, man, if I ever talked to my mom like that at that age, I'd be talking out of the backside of my head.
when it all comes down to it, you got to be selfish and you got to put yourself first. And not knowing how you are manipulated by media and by other things, and if you're not open and aware to it, then you lost anyway. You're just a drifter. That's what I call drifters. They just living life as it happened, no purpose, no plan. They just drifting.
Yeah. And they just accept whatever comes out. You know, they Google something and they just read the first page, or they see something on Facebook. And that always reminds me of back when internet first started becoming big in like the early 2000s. And it was an insurance company that had a commercial out about, you know, well, the internet said it's true, so it must be true. And it was going on blind dates when they first started those internet dating sites. And it was supposed to be a supermodel, and it was some big, fat dude with a fanny pack.
I hate the fanny pack across the kids, okay? I hate that.
Oh, I do too.
I hate that. I think it's the most stupidest shit. You still got to move it around to unzip it. So just wear it around your dang waist, because that's what it was made for. It wasn't meant to be across your body. It's not a satchel. Those are satchels. That's my rant for today. I hate those verses now. I hate them.
I have two different styles. I have the purse, or I have the backpack.
Me too. I carry like a moderate tote, so like a purse or a bag, and then I am a book bag. Or I call it a satchel.
Yeah.
But a book satchel. Because there are satchels that are side satchels, and then there are book satchels.
But then again, you know, some of the really bad 80s style is coming back into style. But I gotta say, there's one thing about the late 80s that I really miss.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna laugh at that, but I tell you this. Remember Richard Simmons and Sweatin' to the Oldies?
Oh my God, I used to love Sweatin' to the Oldies.
I love that. I would love for that to be back. Where you can...
I love that. Richard Simmons is that guy.
Yeah.
Honey, he had... That was the first... I need... It, and this Women's Month. I know we're supposed to be talking about women. And we be politicking and all the things. But there is a lot of women that Richard Simmons touched during his time of sweating to the oldies. That man used to be like 300 pounds, okay, maybe 350. And he danced his way to being happy and who he was. And it was so many hundreds of thousands of people who got this man program, including my mama. And they was at home sweating to the oldies, okay? I was doing
it
as a young kid. It was fun. It was free. It was, it's okay that you have this weight now. You won't have it later. You go on and you keep going. If I can do it, you can do it. We're a family. We're a unit. It was a support system. It was guidance. It was motivation. Richard Simmons is an icon. Okay? And tell, make sure you tell your husband we talked about a man today.
But you know what? How many women's self-esteem wouldn't be there today if it wasn't for him?
That's what I'm saying. He built up a slew of independent women who weren't afraid to go and be themselves. Like, watch this. He was all about, like, women's rights and all the, listen, that man put forth, that was a movement. He definitely built a breed of people who loved themselves and who wanted better for themselves and who took the time to just find something that makes you happy. Just dance, honey. Just dance and cry and just dance.
How many men could get women, bigger women, in leotards and tights, recording themselves trying to work out? Other than that man.
Man, did he make
especially
the leotard?
Especially because,
he made the
during
leotard,
that time
right?
period, you had the Olivia Newton-John and Suzanne Somers, all these stick people doing workout videos. You know, he came out with something that helped a lot of schools use it. My school used it. That's how I got into it.
Really? Come on, Sway. It's in the oldie.
That was our gym class some days when it was raining and we couldn't go outside and they originally planned to do something outside. They'd pop that in. My grandma liked it for the music. She didn't do the exercises. She just liked listening to the music. It was the only non-country thing she'd watch, listen to.
Next up in line, I want to talk about this IEP, and I know you have resources for the people on Optimize My Life site, and you were like, oh, it's not a bad thing, but I want you to know that some parent out there is listening that is wondering why you having an IEP all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. So the IEP thing is because the school that we had my son in gutted his original IEP. They said they could not accommodate him. And this is what they basically looked at him because he was autistic and said he needs to be a normal child. So he is supposed to sit in front of a computer, fully clothed, all day long and participate and talk and do what they want, speak on command. And the thing is one of his big sensory issues, one, is clothes. So it took us 4, 5, 6 years for him to just put shorts on. He'd wear clothes in public, but at home, he stripped to nothing.
It wasn't about that life. And that's okay, nephew.
He just didn't.
All right.
Now he wears shorts. The minute he gets out of the tub, whatever. He's got shorts on. But for him to have to wear shirts outside the house, out in public, is really hard for him. And I don't really care. As long as his butt's covered, that's all I care about. And so they were complaining about because he gets migraines. And so the doctor, or if he had a sensory day, a bad day where he just couldn't focus, he was getting unexcused absences. They don't count. He's not allowed to have a bad day. He's required to be in class all day long and then do so many hours of schoolwork. Or if he has a migraine, he's supposed to be still in class unless we go to take him to the doctor and get a doctor's note. And even my doctor said that was asinine and stupid. Because when you have a migraine, going to the doctor is like the worst thing for you because you're out in the light. You're out, you know. If we can control it at home and we can handle it, and he has his own routines to do that, that's fine. So we brought up, put them back into connections. The only reason we took them out of connections is they didn't have the one-on-one abilities to help my daughter, and I wanted them in the same school. And even connections, when they looked at his new IEP, they're like, this is bullshit.
Hmm. Not the new school, like, child, not the old school.
Oh, yeah. And they apologized for what we went through with him. And so because of his issues and stuff like that, we have to have a meeting to adjust because they said we can't run off this old IEP. Or this IEP does not help. And so today we have the meeting with all, one is to update all the teachers on his progress over the year, but it's also to modify it back. So I put together a list. So we start out, and this is what every parent should do when they have an do it before an IEP meeting. A summary of your child, who they are, what their personality is, and then what are their strengths. And it doesn't have to be academic. So, for instance, I'll pull up actually the one I did for David. You can go over it.
So when a school messes up like that, or butchers the IEP, is there something that you can do to that school, or you just, like, is there a to go out and say, hey, these people aren't what they say? Quite sure it is.
There is. It's a process, and it's, do you really want to go through it, or, you know, I mean, we had the option to deal with a lawyer and change policies. And, you know, do all that. But in the same time, my son's going to struggle. So I decided just to put him back in a school that works. And then I will deal with that school after the fact. For me, it was more important to get him situated, get him back in education than it was for anything else. So what I ended up doing was putting together a David thing. And first thing was is that the speech pattern he uses is called Gestalt, which means he speaks in phrases, not in words. And you have to play the detective a little bit, unless you know him, to figure out what he's trying to say. But then I also added in the regulation techniques that he currently uses, so they know what to do, you know, the warning sign. Like he'll say great white shark, and that means he's getting frustrated.
I got you. I want you to hop on this little train of memes. It's like, I'm an autism mom. Of course I know what great white shark means, that he's about to get an attitude and you know, mess shit up. And then it's like, of course I'm an autism. I mean, of course my son runs around with no shirt on and all his underwear, you know. I'm an autism mom. Of course, my kid has had a Chick-fil-A 6 times this week. You know, like whatever their thing is. Type. It's like a little trend going on social media. Yeah, going to get on that train.
Yeah. So, and that way it's for the school to know, too, you know, this is what he's doing. Here's his warning sign, so you know how to correct him correctly. So, like, for him, when he starts getting frustrated, follow his cues, but, you know, he does the finger family. But instead of singing it, he'll just say mommy, daddy, brother, sister, baby. And what he does is, you know, it's kind of like what Gage does, but he does it with his fingers. He just touches each finger, like he's counting. You know, and then it goes into his strengths. What is he good at? You know, he uses metaphors to explain himself. He is able to tell you what he's feeling and what he's thinking. It's just a different way in what he's feeling. You know, he's imaginative. It doesn't have, when you put in his strengths, it doesn't have to be educational related. It is what he is good at. So is he creative? Is he smart? Is he, you know, good at drawing? Because they use those tools of what he's good at to help make him better. You know, he's, you know, like with David, he's funny. He's a practical joker. He's a smart aleck. And then, like, his weaknesses. He still struggles with communication. He has issues with patience. You know. And then I put in a separate thing of what he struggles with academically. You know, for a very smart little kid, the simple things is what he struggles with. You know, prepositions.
Yeah. Gage will be like, where is she going? He talks in third person. Where is she going? He's talking about where, instead of saying, where are you going? He's like, where is she going?
Because everybody talks to him in third person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they pick it up. You know, and then goals. What goals do you want to see him, they have during the year? You know, my goal, and this is a school goal, not just a, like a particular area, and it's to, you know, my biggest goal is to allow him to grow and learn and become his own person, embracing who he is as a person, not who we think he should be. You know, yes, our goal is for our kids to be a regular kid, to be able to do everything like everyone else can do. But at what expense is that? Do we do that? And so many schools use that as an expense at them because we change them and try to, you know, and they talk and you correct them all the time. When they have a certain way of talking, they start to get self-conscious and think, you know, and they'll shut up, they'll stop talking because they think there's something wrong with them. You know, when you take something over and do it for them instead of allowing them to do it their way, they will start shutting down and start wrecking their self-esteem because you're doing everything for them. But remember, these kids are smart. And if they know that they can manipulate you into doing something a certain way, they're going to do it.
They do it. Yes, they do.
He figured out a long time ago in school, I think it was in like kindergarten, that if he doesn't talk and he just stares at you, and I love this, speech teachers are supposed to teach kids how to speak, right? Theoretically speaking here. They are very uncomfortable with silence. And so they don't talk. The teachers will talk for them. And they will keep talking and keep talking. And I laugh so hard about it. So I'm like, you know, just shut up. Just let him wait out the hour if you have to, half hour, whatever. Because he knows that if he sits here long enough, he's going to talk. Because he doesn't have to, because you're going to do it for him. It's also why when you have a lot of kids, the younger they are, the last in line, don't talk forever because they don't have to. It's a mind game. These kids have a down pat.
I'm over here like they playing games right in my face.
Yeah. Difference is mine tells you. He goes, I understand it. I've fallen for it. You know, another goal I have is that to make sure that the school does not tell him he's autistic because he doesn't know. He just knows his brain is wired differently. And if he does know, he doesn't say anything about it. Because I don't want that emphasized. It's just his brain is wired.
You know, your nephew denounced his autism, okay? He told me, you cannot call him autism. He is not autism. He is artistic. I said, yes, sir.
That's it. And so some of the IEP modifications are camera issues, not having them on all the time, you know, not having to be in front of the camera, being able to move around to fill his sensory needs. You know, just because he's not right there doesn't mean he ain't listening. Because these kids listen to it all. They absorb it all. You know, some of the speech goals is to, instead of him making a choice, making him verbally make that choice. Getting him to say it, because he doesn't talk, he doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using game supplements that he likes to do it, to help with it, or do it for sport, which the school already approves. Modifying his portfolios based on his needs, and then working with his teacher one-on-one to get to work on those. You know, helping him write sentences. And then what we do is they have their list of goals and things they want, and then we sit down and discuss them, and we compromise. And we meet in the middle.
That makes a whole lot of sense. And now your child doesn't have to suffer, because I know IEP meets the most like once a year, but if you need to revise, then you can schedule like an emergency meeting, and, you know, they have to agree to what is your concerns or what you feel like your child's needs aren't being met. So I think that the approach of just checking in with IEP, like every quarter maybe, seeing what needs to be updated, what's working, what's not working, because if you just have it set for that 1 year, there could have been something not working for a whole year. And instead of...
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That is what I love about connections, is your IEP
uh-huh.
is a living document, which means if something's not working or something needs to change,
mm-hmm.
they change it first, meeting later.
Oh, dang. Okay.
And then they do the meeting. Because their whole point is that document can be changed. It doesn't need to be set in stone, especially now that we're in the age of computers where you can literally just cut and paste and adjust it. When we were with Connections before, we make constant changes to the IEP and adjustments. Cause especially kids like that, they grow and progress so much, so fast. That switch hit. The IEP could be out of date in like 2 months.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Especially if the something that is put in the IEP is being performed with the student and it's working. Talk about surpassing things that move it around. You don't want to keep that for a year. And, you know. Oh, hey.
Abby, thank you. Bye. Stop. Dogs are outside,
puppy
and the neighbor dogs outside.
Puppy got something to say.
Oh, that dog peed in my butt.
Puppy got something to say.
He always has something to say. But that's, you know, a lot of parents don't realize that, you know, and... Coming this spring, in the summer, we're going to hold a seminar through the Hope Collection and Optimize My Life on how to do IEPs and to know your rights. You know that a lot of schools have to accommodate them and have to bring in somebody if it's something they need. And like a lot of schools, they use your insurance to pay for services. So it's not even something on the school budget. Like your speech and things like that are all done through
speech,
your insurance.
Speech, OT. Yeah.
Mhm. That's why you have to fill out the insurance information.
And for the people who, well, I guess that's Medicaid, that's where it falls in line.
But, you know, a lot of schools don't want to put the work in, or they don't have the school my daughter's in. They only have one person in charge of all the special needs kids online.
One person?
Yep.
And it's like one in every nine kids. So one person can actually handle all of that?
Nope.
No. Of course not.
That's the part that irritates me the most out of it, is because she can't or don't want to. One of the two.
But I thought for every one teacher equals, they can have eight students or something like that without having a para.
Well, they don't do paras online.
Oh, no. I thought you was referring to a classroom. This is online. Okay. Girl, let me stay out of the classroom and get online over here.
Yeah.
Understood. Well, anywho, today has really been an enlightening one. I appreciate the conversation because it evoked more of thought to go inward. So I always appreciate these shows for doing just that, not only for me, but to our growing audience. So thank each and every one of you for showing up today. Mary, you always rock with everything you do. I know you're going to go rock in this IEP meeting. And I appreciate you being a well of knowledge to help mommies like me and like you. Yeah. I also want to thank you for serving in our armed forces. And being that it is Women's Month, you are one hell of a woman. If people only knew how many hats you wore and how much stuff you did just out of goodness of your heart, man, it would bring them to tears. So on behalf of Women's Month and all the women, honey, we thank you and we honor you today.
And I got to go jump into a school meeting, and I will see you all back here tomorrow. I am co-hosting with Len Kane. So join us back here at noon tomorrow. Have a good day. Have a good night. And bye for now.
Peace, love, juice. Bye.